You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, so you've probably heard us talk a lot about Zencastr lately, and the reason for that is because they provide excellent studio quality sound for us here every time we record a Triviality. Stay tuned to the mid-roll and check out a special offer code that we've got for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, here with a full studio full of men. Ken, Jeff, and Matt.
not uncommon since
hey, all right.
It's the four of us always.
It is. It's like the Thunder Down Under, but for podcasting.
I am wearing the chaps. Yeah. What do they wear?
Thunder Down Under, I believe, wears like denim chaps. Or,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, the Chippendales, I believe, are like dress pants.
Right.
Or like
thicker. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. They have those boards in Vegas. Now here's,
don't pretend that you didn't know.
Now I know.
I believe Jeff wrote an article about the conspiracy that he believed that not all of the Thunder Down Under men are actually Australian. They're probably just models from other countries, but they don't say it.
How dare they?
We want a unique...
Yeah, and I would think Australian had enough... male models for that.
I would think so. Australia, Brazil, all the good-looking people.
Very South attractive.
Africa. South Africa as well.
Very good listeners. We were number three in games and sports in Australia. So
were we really?
You. Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks to our Australian listeners.
It's all that footy talk.
Yeah, that's true.
So footy, Australian rules football.
We know how to pay.
What are the other SEO words that we need? Collingwood Magpies.
Kangaroo.
Kangaroo, yeah.
Nike Spoonie.
Hello to all our Australian listeners. Well, today we have a very special episode. We're super excited. We've had... couple of listeners that have been so loyal to us for a long time, and we've been excited to send them posters and other stickers and perks. I think there's a box that is still en route through the USPS, which takes forever to get there. But today's a special South African episode. Two of our listeners are from Cape Town, South Africa, Rules Guy impersonators on Patreon, which we appreciate. And we talked before we started recording that the South African pronunciation of their name is much different than what the anglicized version is. So I'm going to give it a go. So please forgive me, anyone else who is in South Africa. But I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. Our first host is Gerard Thran. And also joining him is Emma Angers. Thank you for joining the show.
Hey, how was that?
That was...
an effort.
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you found the show, all that good stuff.
We found your show during lockdown. We both like really enjoy quizzing and used to do a lot of pub trivia before the pandemic started. And I think, we just really missed it during lockdown. So we're looking for any sort of trivia podcast and came across your guys. I think we started listening in 2020, like end of 2020, and so we
during the pandemic
we decided to go through right from the beginning.
See, COVID was great for everyone. Is that no?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, okay. It was fun listening to your episodes from the start because it was, I guess, almost like a tragic irony as you got closer and closer to March 2020, and you know, we're talking about things you're going to do during the year, and we kind of knew what was coming. But yeah, it was just, it really helped us having that to listen to during lockdown. And now things are kind of opening up again. So we've started doing a bit more pub quizzing, but yeah, still listening to your show regularly and really enjoying it. So thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's what we want to do, is just fill the gap between trivia nights, or in the case of the pandemic, a 2-year gap.
Yeah,
I never
right.
really thought about it as a like a time capsule like that, obviously, because it's just been happening to
the
us in real
tragedy.
Time. But that's really...
Like, I can't wait to travel this summer. Wah, wah.
I'm a math teacher, a high school math teacher, although at the moment I'm working in online learning. And yeah, just really enjoy quizzing, enjoy puzzles, like crossword puzzles, number puzzles, escape rooms, just... kind of figuring stuff out.
Love a good escape room. Very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Gerard. I work as a 3D designer, but mostly in architecture. Although I have recently started doing more like 3D sculpting in the hopes of eventually 3D printing some figurines of like favorite anime and game characters. I really like video games and anime and all sorts of entertainment stuff like that. I also enjoy a lot of hiking, and yeah, it's been a lot to keep us busy during this 2 years of isolation.
Well, we see some wonderful art behind you, so it'll be nice to look at that during the game. But we're going to team up today 2-on-2, just do a classic triviality game. And we flipped a memory card, and it looks like Matt is going to be with Jeff, and I'm going to be with Ken. So Matt and Jeff, any ideas on the team name?
I liked what you said about the... the legacy.
Yeah, I don't know if I could pronounce it again, but
Thrawn?
Yeah.
Thrawn.
Thrawn.
Yeah.
Right, because so basically the name is spelled sort of what you would be familiar with as like Charlize Theron, or how we say it here, probably incorrectly, but the correct pronunciation is Thrawn. So you're going to be...
Thrawn Legacy.
Thrawn Legacy.
Our favorite movie.
Jeff Bridges' national treasure.
I like that. All right. well, let's throw it to the rules guy, and we'll hear those rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into 2 rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
I am the cream.
All right, so we are ready to play the game. Both of you, please, take it away.
Round 1. Question number 1. Does a question about Bloodsport count as a sports question? Used as the setting for part of the movie Bloodsport, what is the name of the densely populated and ungoverned Chinese enclave that was demolished in 1994?
This does not count as a sports question.
Do you know this?
No, do you know it?
Yes, I believe I do.
Perfect.
So it's the setting of the movie Bloodsport, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I mean, I can picture Forrest Whitaker running around in a suit looking for Frank Dukes.
Well, our Bloodsport took place in Brookfield, Illinois.
Oh, does that sound like a thing?
Yeah, Macau. Bangkok, I don't believe is correct.
Let's say Macau.
Okay. I know there's a lot of casinos in Macau.
That's all I know about Macau. Bangkok is in Thailand, so you were...
I'm way off.
You were not close there.
All right, Macau's fine. We'll say Macau.
My only instinct on this, Matt, when we locked in, was that they said it was demolished. I remember there was a hyper-populated building structure known as Kowloon Walled City. I believe that the Chinese demolished because it was a huge health hazard. So that's what we locked in.
And Kowloon Walled City is correct.
Wow, Jeff.
It's very specifically correct.
Yeah, very specific.
Are you both
sorry, people in Macau?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, they're all winning money out there. Are you both fans of the movie Bloodsport?
I've seen it many, many years ago. I haven't watched it in recent years.
Holds up.
But I am...
I'm not.
I was going to say, Emma was shaking her head very, very hard.
What was that movie that we watched with Jean-Claude Van Damme in New Orleans?
Oh, Hard Target?
Hard Target. That was a good one.
That's very over the top, yeah. He punches a snake in the face.
Yeah. All right, let's get question 2.
Okay, round 1, question 2. This is definitely breaking COVID regulations. The record for highest attended free music concert is a close tie between 2 artists, one questionably sexy Brit and one breathtaking French composer. Both concerts had approximately 3.5 million people in attendance. They took place in Rio de Janeiro in 1994 and Moscow in 1997, respectively. Name either artist. for a bonus point, name both.
All right, seems like, Neil, you have some sort of idea.
I do, yeah. Let's lock this one in.
Based on the questionably sexiness of the Brit.
Great clue there, yeah.
Okay, so we'll lock in the main answer, and we probably don't know the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, do you like my body? Do you think I'm sexy?
I don't know.
Rod Stewart?
Is that who that is?
I think it might be Rod Stewart.
I was just going to say Prince Charles because people aren't sure, but I never bought his album. So. I think Rod Stewart's fine.
Prince colon Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my gut leads me to someone who would have been kind of famous long enough ago.
Did 3.5 million people want to see Rod Stewart?
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, do you think I'm sexy? I mean, okay. Rio's a sexy place.
That is true.
So I have no idea.
Anything
right
for the composer?
Daft Punk, just as a joke.
That was going to be our guess for the composer as well. So we said Daft Punk for that. But yeah, we also picked up on that clue just a little bit longer than probably we needed to. But we also said Rod Stewart.
And Rod Stewart is correct for the concert in Rio de Janeiro. The second one is Jean-Michel Jarre, who is a French composer that did the album Oxygen, like the Oxygen trilogy albums, which
must
is
be really,
really
big in Russia.
Cool. Round one, question number three. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. Which 2014 movie has the following actors? Alicia Vikander, Oscar Isaac, and Domhnall Gleeson.
We're locked in.
Was there more to your question?
No.
Oh, okay. Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. Are you kidding? Oscar Isaac dancing in that movie?
Dance floor.
It's so good. Yeah, we also said Ex Machina.
I want to stay. Excellent. You can stay in that house.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there.
Yeah, Ex Machina is correct, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie, too.
Question number four. Chefs of the North Star. Which capital city has the most Michelin star restaurants in the world? At the time of recording, it has a total of 212.
Well, yeah, I'm divided between trying to follow my heart and follow the clue. And actually, I have kind of a convoluted answer, but I think it's kind of, I'm getting somewhere with it.
All right, so, let's go with it.
All right.
I would think, without a clue, my first instinct would be Paris. Yeah, they're known for their...
And Michelin is a French company.
Yeah.
So without a doubt, that would have been my gut.
But North... I mean, Paris is kind of north, I guess.
It is, yeah. When he says... I mean, the furthest north capital city, as you mentioned, actually, is Reykjavik.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's 200. There was no way there's 200 Michelin star restaurants there. I don't think the city would support that.
Maybe Toronto?
Toronto is funny. Toronto's only the capital of a province, though. Ottawa is the capital of Canada.
That's exactly what I meant. Ottawa. I was testing you. Great job.
with North Star, though, it does make me think Minnesota. So maybe it could be a capital of a state. Maybe Minneapolis, surprisingly.
No,
has
there's
like
no way it is 212.
Great food scene.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Minnesota, but there's no way they're not giving out Michelin stars for baked
every
catfish.
Restaurant there uses the dry ice thing. That's because they're all Michelin star restaurants.
Okay, well then my other guess would be it would be something Scandinavian.
Okay,
where it would be like,
what about
Stockholm, Sweden, or something like that?
They just convinced everybody there that they have Michelin stars.
They're just like, all of our restaurants are the best. We will make no restaurant will be not a Michelin star.
Okay.
Once you come here, you'll never leave.
So, right? What do you want to go with? I'm still thinking Paris.
Okay, we can go Paris since we got nothing really.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Here's my thinking. So he says chefs of the North Star, which immediately in my mind I think of Fist of the North Star. We know that they're into anime over there, so I'm thinking Tokyo.
And Tokyo is correct.
Aww.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, Ken caught up on the clue. Yes, which was a play on Fist of the North Star.
That was very loud.
Yeah.
Great clues so far. These are wonderful clues helping us.
For that 10. Actually makes a lot of sense because Tokyo's got like 38 million people. So
probably a lot of restaurants.
Probably a lot of restaurants.
37 million restaurants.
They're attentive to their food, you know.
There are Michelin star like sushi places that I can name, so... Mm-hmm.
Cool. Round one, question number five. When the stars align. Of the new seven wonders of nature, only one has a constellation named after it. originally named Mons Mensae, but now known as Mensa, which natural landmark does it represent?
It's making me think. I can see the pictures of the seven nature-made ones.
Are they in the room?
You know them?
I don't know their names. One of them I know is Alexandria, but I think that's the library. But
that, those that are not the
not
natural.
The same
ones.
Not.
No. One of them is a big.
Those are of the ancient. Those are the ancient ones.
One of them is like a nice tree, but I don't know what it's called. So we'll just say
General Sherman. My favorite
Joshua tree.
I
can't believe he was named after a tree.
Tree Rollins. He used to play for the Clippers.
I know. I've seen the pictures. I just don't know what they're called.
I don't know. Mount Everest?
Sure.
So,
I don't know any of the wonders of the natural world, but
other
what
than
about
Jeff, Ken, Neil, and Matt?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's a wonder we're
I mean,
very
probably,
natural.
Probably the Grand Canyon's one, right?
I was thinking like the Grand Canyon might be one, but
Victoria
also,
Falls.
I was trying to think of what kind of constellation might. Like, can you think of any constellations of like natural things that aren't like?
If it's not Orion's belt,
because you have like Orion, but
Orion's
just a dude.
Wristwatch.
Yeah,
I don't know
Orion's iPhone.
Yeah, carrying case.
His iPhone pocket bulge.
let's move on from Orion. He's had a rough week.
Maybe the Big Dipper, Little Dipper. I mean, is there
Ursa
something
Major,
that looks like
minor?
Is there something that looks like a big spoon somewhere in nature?
Yes.
That people are like,
Oh.
It's Jeff. He's the big spoon.
Thank you.
Maybe it's a waterfall. There's probably a constellation named after
waterfall. Probably. I can't think of one, but.
What about Victoria Falls?
We can guess Victoria Falls.
Yeah.
Or Niagara Falls or Victoria Falls.
Yeah. That's a big one.
That's our guess.
And we said Mount Everest, unfortunately.
So, you did say this is a South Africa-themed episode. Mm-hmm. It's actually a South African landmark. It's Table Mountain.
Oh. I was right on the mountain.
It was a mountain. You're right.
No, I got that.
Yeah, it's one of the new seven wonders. Oh, and I forgot to mention that this was a listener-submitted question that we did for question 5, which was actually a question that Emma's dad suggested.
Nice. Oh, thanks, Emma's dad.
So after 5, how many points did you have over at Thrawn Legacy? And we also
30-30.
So
we started strong, but have fallen off.
Now, I saw Emma shook her head when we asked if she enjoyed Bloodsport. So Emma, I believe, is going to be taking over the next 5 questions. And I don't know if that means you're going to make them really hard for us, but we're excited.
I think we've gotten a few of the hard questions out of the way.
Hey.
All right.
In general, Gerard's the movie buff of the two of us, so any movie questions in here, he most likely came up with.
Yeah.
All right, so question 6, the category is, oh my good, what is the state vegetable of Oklahoma? It became the state vegetable in 2007, causing quite a bit of controversy.
I wonder what gourd would people be angry about?
What's a rage-inducing gourd?
I would just go with this.
I hate squash.
That was my guess as well, because I think it would start a controversy.
All right, we're elected.
Was it the food of the state or?
Vegetable.
The vegetable.
Pumpkin. People get all up in a tizzy about their pumpkins.
It's probably the best gourd there is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, squashes suck.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it now.
This is what the song Gonna Be Starting Something's about, probably.
Pumpkins?
No, the official state vegetable of Oklahoma. I'm a vegetable. I'm a vegetable.
Oh, jeez.
I think we are going to lock in with pumpkin.
We said pumpkin as well.
So it's actually even more controversial than pumpkin. It's the watermelon.
How dare they?
It has seeds. Ooh. It's a fruit.
Pumpkins have seeds. Yeah.
They're all fruits.
I did read up about this, and I think the governor wanted to make watermelon the state fruit, but there already was a state fruit. I think it's a strawberry. So he pushed to have it the state vegetable.
You know what? I have heard this.
And are you kidding me? They went with an aggregate fruit as their state fruit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you're in power and you have vegetable.
It's also the state animal.
He's wild
is
with
the
power.
Watermelon.
He's wild with power. All right. So let's get 7.
All right. Question 7. Your category is Samoa or less. What was unusual about the 30th of December 2011 in Samoa?
So we're right near the new year.
Yeah. So I think they probably maybe lost a day because they like moved the time zones or something like that. Something weird like that. So let's just say that.
I like that. Yeah.
We said it didn't exist for similar reasons.
You guys are both spot on. Well done. Yay. So they went to bed on the 29th of December and woke up on the 31st. And you're right, it was because they wanted to be in the same time zone as New Zealand.
Wow. So
they were
like
jealous of that time zone.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode. Just lost a whole day. I wonder if everyone woke up and they're like,
that
what
all
happened?
The time.
Yeah. It's a good, they probably felt really refreshed.
That's true. They had 24 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, question 8. How dairy? Which famous author was a taste tester for Cadbury's chocolate when he was a schoolboy?
You know?
Yeah.
That one with the thing.
With the thing.
John Oberweis.
I guess we could go with that.
Okay.
Okay, so
Cadbury, based in England,
yes.
Right?
So I'm trying to think of what would be funny if they were like a taste tester as a young child.
Oh, what if it's who wrote James and the Giant Peach?
Yeah, the same person who wrote Willy Wonka.
Roald Dahl.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's do that.
That's a great guess. We just couldn't get dairy out of our heads, and we said Stephen King because of it. And so,
that's funny.
Not Stephen King. Jeff and Matt are correct.
That was a great answer. Excellent job.
If it wasn't that, I was like, I hope it's something funny like George Orwell, like for Animal Farm.
Yeah. eating the Cadbury cream eggs was very dystopian.
Cadbury inspired 1984. That'd be great.
Question 9. Everything's falling into space. In 1993, Russian cosmonaut Alexander Serebrov was the first person to play a video game in space when he took his Game Boy with him to the Mir space station. What was the game he played?
Ooh, maybe
what year was this again?
In 1993.
That makes sense with the clue. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that.
Oh, I didn't hear the clue.
Either that or the other one that you would think of for that. But
Pokemon?
Yes.
He's like, I got to catch them all, but I have the space mission. What if?
Are you guys locked in?
Yeah, we're locked in.
I believe so, yeah.
All right. So the clue was everything is falling into space, or everything's falling in space. Plus Russian, Tetris.
Yep. I was thinking Tetris as well.
Yeah. Tetris.
Obviously, we went with Doodle Jump. No, we also went with Tetris.
I still have that downloaded on a phone somewhere.
I believe it.
So that they couldn't take it away when they removed it from the App Store.
Yes, the answer is Tetris.
Nice.
Wow, now, Neil, your brother is quite the Tetris player, if I do say so myself.
He loves Tetris. We also grew up with Dr. Mario with the pills.
Oh, I love Dr. Mario.
Which is a great game. My favorite Game Boy game is Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
See, I used to play Columns. That's the Sega one.
Oh, no, I've never played Columns before.
It's like more of a color match sort of thing.
Is it Greek based?
I think it is like a Greek theme, but
they're all just Greek columns you have to put in a place like
get
the Parthenon.
Out of a small aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead with question 10. We'll finish off the round.
Yeah. Question 10. All that remains. Who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2017? Since winning the prize, he's published the book Clara and the Sun. And he also happens to be Gerard's favorite author, which is why this question's in here.
Neil looks like he has some sort of recollection of this, but I don't. You can lock in with the guess, Neil, if you'd like.
Okay. I have a random guess. We're going to lock in.
This is not coming to me. Do you have any idea?
No. Who would be, I mean, recent authors, I have no idea.
Yeah, I was trying to think. There's a couple, like, I believe Pulitzer Prize winning South African authors, but I'm not remembering any of their names. I know his favorite author doesn't have to be South African, but that'd be a cool trivia question. Yeah.
Lucky Johnson?
Johansson.
Yes.
I don't care.
I'm fine with that. We're going to go with that. Lucky Johansson.
This author has written comic books, novels, all that good kind of stuff. I think TV, possibly. I know he won maybe a Pulitzer. I'm not sure about the Nobel Prize, but we went Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Okay, so no points here.
Yeah, the correct answer is Kazuo Ishiguro.
Oh.
He was Yeah, Japanese born, but he's a British author because he moved to they moved to Britain like at a very young age. And the clue was partly also All That Remains, which basically is one book that's quite famous. It's called Remains of the Day. So there was a bit of a clue to that. Yeah.
Well, after the first round, looks like we got 50 points, so we're on pace for an average game.
Yeah, and you guys have 50. We have 60 points over here, so just a slight advantage.
All right. Let's get into the swing round. What do you have prepared for us today?
Cool. Okay, so for the swing round, we've taken a bunch of books, board games, video games, movies, etc. And what we've done is change one letter in the title to make a new version of it. So we're going to give you a description of this new thing, and you have to give that as your answer. So we'll give you the category if it's a book or movie, and we've got an example just to show you how it works, if you like.
Okay.
So, for example, a movie. In an experiment gone wrong, Jeff Goldblum finds himself with COVID-like symptoms. And that would be the flu. So it's the fly, and we've changed the Y to a U to make the flu.
Yep.
Clever, clever. Okay, that makes sense.
Number one, a theme resort is opened with tragic results when scientists use DNA to create long extinct pigs. And this is a book or a movie? And a movie. Number two, don't piss off this superhero or he'll destroy you with his dazzling good looks. In the category comic book superhero. Third one, Adam Driver and his wife struggle to come to terms with an irreparable form of Victorian transport, a movie. Number four, as part of an elite team of scientists, you must race to save the world from the spreading of a certain type of bad joke, board game. Number five, missionaries to Africa attempt to get natives to worship an item of footwear, musical.
Okay, number six. In this open world game, you play as a low-life character rising up in the ranks by stealing corporate identities. That's a video game. Then number seven, a girl discovers that she is musically gifted while helping to support her deaf family. She is. That's a movie. Then eight, when a group of schoolboys is stranded on an island, they fight over who will get the last portion of chips. That's a book. Nine, a captain reminisces about the giant webbed-footed creature that got away. That's a book. And 10, in this card-based deck-building game, players win by amassing the most victory points and getting rid of all the annoying small yellow creatures in blue dungarees. And that's a board game.
Now that we have the questions, we will consider these great new combinations, and we'll be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's episode is partially sponsored by Zencastr, and we couldn't be happier about that. We love the product. We use it on virtually every episode that we do to get our guests to come in clearly. They have a great program that filters the audio, makes it easy to edit, and stores it online for us, too.
Yeah, it's a huge help that all of our recordings are backed up on a cloud-based backup system that Zencastr runs. And that way we just know that none of our episodes or none of our audio from our contestants are going to be lost like it was one time, which is still embarrassing. You'll never hear it.
Yeah, we can't control the Midwest weather. When the tornadoes hit, sometimes we lose power. It happens.
Not only that, Zencastr is super simple to use for our guests and for ourselves. You do it right in the browser. There's almost no learning curve. Saves us a bunch of time and hassle.
Thank you, Zencastr.
And let's get those swing round answers.
We are back. Let's get the questions one more time, and we'll give our funny combinations.
Okay, cool. Number one. A theme resort is opened with tragic results when scientists use DNA to recreate long-extinct pigs. The book or the movie?
We went with Jurassic Pork.
Yeah. That was the reason that the guy was actually on the toilet. We said Jurassic Pork.
Yeah. And Jurassic Pork is correct. Well done. Question two. Don't piss off the superhero or he'll destroy you with his dazzling good looks. In comics, superhero.
We went with the Incredible Hulk.
We also thought this was an Incredible Hulk.
And Incredible Hulk is also correct. Question number three. Adam Driver and his wife struggle to come to terms with an irreparable form of Victorian transport. Movie.
We said this was the original title for Bridgerton, The Carriage Story.
Yeah, we said, why? Why wouldn't you fix the spokes? Carriage Story.
And Carriage Story is correct.
This was one of the ones we were most proud of.
These are all wonderful.
I could have ridden on hundreds of carriages.
Punches the wall.
You ever see the clip of them doing the like goofy voice over it?
Oh no!
I got to show you that. It's word for word that scene, but it's like Disney voice actors doing that.
I've seen them do like the Pixar versions of them arguing and crying, which is really funny.
We also need to Google that now. Afterwards. Question four. As part of an elite team of scientists, you must race to save the world from the spreading of a certain type of bad joke. Board game.
Some might describe our show as this, Pandemic.
Yes, we also said Pandemic.
And Pandemic is correct. Number five. Missionaries to Africa attempt to get natives to worship an item of footwear. Musical.
We went with Boot of Mormon.
Yeah, thing Red was always trying to shove up someone's ass. We said the Boot of Mormon.
And Boot of Mormon is correct.
All right. Okay. Number six. In this open world game, you play as a low-life character rising up in the ranks by stealing corporate identities. It's a video game.
We went with Brand Theft Auto.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, we went with Assassin's Greed.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
But it is Brand Theft Auto. And question seven, I think this was a tough one. A girl discovers that she is musically gifted while helping to support her deaf family. She is.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
We didn't feel good about this one. This is the only one that we went without an answer, so... We got nothing.
An Apple TV award-winning movie it is. Yoda.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes. Well, Yoda it is. Well done.
I was thinking that she is, the way it was written, was a clue, but I just didn't even go that route. Yeah, that's great.
All right, number eight.
We should have watched Coda is the problem. Didn't watch it.
Yeah.
It is an excellent movie.
Next time you come over.
I've been trying to, but it's not been streaming properly for me.
All right, number eight. When a group of schoolboys is stranded on an island, they fight over who will get the last portion of chips. And that's the book.
Loved that it was described as chips, and we went Lord of the Fries.
Mm-hmm. We don't call it that here, but that's okay. We said Lord of the Fries.
It is Lord of the Fries. We actually had some people playtest this for us, and some of the feedback we got was that chips isn't really the right word, but
nope.
We couldn't think of a better word.
No, we like it.
We should call it chips.
We got it.
Fries is in the answer.
Yeah. Right. I like chips and
crisps.
It
acknowledges both, both equally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer to be like, give me a bag of crisps. Just sounds cool. Mm-hmm.
It does sound.
I'm
sounds healthier, actually.
It does.
Okay, number nine. A captain reminisces about the giant web-footed creature that got away.
If you were to Photoshop one of these, I think it should be this one.
Okay.
And it's Moby Duck.
Call me Ishmael. Moby Duck.
Yes, Moby Duck. Well,
awesome.
You should put Howard the Duck as the duck for that one.
And Moby as...
Yeah, we should, actually Photoshop something like that.
I kind of wanted to see a carriage story with, like, Adam Driver, like, punching the side of the carriage.
If you want to Photoshop that, go ahead.
I'll Photoshop that as well.
And the last one. In this card-based deck-building game, players win by amassing the most victory points and getting rid of all the annoying small yellow creatures in blue dungarees. A board game.
Yeah, we went with no minion.
We also hope for a world of no minion. I'm tired of them.
It is no minion. And Neil and Ken, it was really entertaining for us listening to the two of you trying to work out how to spell Dominion.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes.
After the swing round, looks like both teams picked up 45 points.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. It's going to bring Jeff Bridges as a national treasure. Is that the name of it? Our team?
Yeah. 95.
95 and Thrawn Legacy to 105.
Yeah.
It's confusing that the team name with Jeff in it doesn't have Jeff in it.
I considered that earlier, but, you know, the more Jeff, the merrier.
Not everything's about you.
So as we go to the second round, just a big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for helping us continue to grow the show. We just passed at the time of this recording, which is at the end of May, we just passed 458 patrons. So we passed our 450 mark on our way to 500. So thank you to everyone who is signing up to be a patron and getting all those extra bonus audio episodes, as well as some of the perks. As we mentioned, we sent a box to South Africa. It's on its way. It'll probably get there pretty soon, but you can join all of our patrons who help us get the show going, and Gerard and Emma to support the show. And Jeff, anything else you'd like to say about Patreon, since it's our 5th year anniversary here?
Thank you.
You did it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You covered everything that is a perk except for the one that keeps supporting our show. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, yes, thank you. Go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast and join in on the fun.
All right, let's get round two underway.
Round two, question one. Your category is Let It All Out. Which band's name, as well as their first album, was inspired by the writings of Arthur Janov, the creator of Primal Therapy, a trauma-based psychotherapy that focuses on helping people connect with their deepest emotions and feelings to make sense of this mad world? Hint, it's not Primal Scream.
We're locked in.
Probably a rock band.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, it's hard because I don't even know, like, a decade to...
Right.
Like, I don't think it's like Rage Against the Machine. Oh, it's got Rage in it.
It was Rage Against the Machine's first album was called, Rage Against the Machine.
You want to just say that because it's got anger in it?
Sure. We're going to go Rage Against the Machine.
I don't think the same, like a self-titled album was necessarily in the question. She said the name of the band and the first album were based on the same concept. We went with Tears for Fears, and I believe their first album was The Hurting, and they have a new album out. It's pretty good.
If it hasn't been said before.
Tears for Fears. And yeah, Gerard's been listening to the album on repeat for the last however long it's been out.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Well, we love Sean.
And there was a lot of clues in there. Let It All Out, and also Mad World. I was like, when she said Mad World, I was like, oh, that gave it away, but you missed it. So
yeah, it clicked right when I was thinking of Let It All Out, and made me think also of Sean and Gus on Psych doing their talent show.
I don't know how
their performance. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they do feature quite a bit in Psych.
Yeah, they love Tears for Fears.
So do I. I might see them in a couple weeks.
Mm. All right, round two, question two. Everest. Mount Everest is famously the highest mountain on Earth above sea level. Perhaps not quite as famous, K2 is the second highest mountain. It lies on the border of which two Asian countries?
I like those answers.
I don't know if these two countries share a border, but let's go with it.
I think it's close to that, at least.
It's at least in the region.
It is. So. I think you're in the right ballpark.
All right.
It's by the Eurasia border, right?
So it's still in the Himalayas.
Okay.
It's in that chain. So Everest is on the border between Nepal and India.
Mm-hmm.
But I think K2 is on the border with Pakistan. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's Pakistan and India or Pakistan and China.
I think
Pakistan and India.
I would go with.
Okay, we're gonna guess Pakistan and India.
Well, Ken wrote down a couple places, and I just agreed because I don't really know, but we actually said Nepal and India, so maybe we were thinking of Everest, but those are our answers.
So you're all very much in the right area, but it's actually Pakistan and China.
50-50 there.
I knew it was mostly in Pakistan, but
okay, question 3. Not another food question. Italy is home to the oldest university in continuous operation in the world. Give the name of the university, which is also the name of the city it's in.
I think that is a type of food, I think, right?
Yeah, you selected a food term.
Yeah, and that's, I believe, an Italian area.
Okay, I'm good with it.
Okay, we'll lock in.
Now that I rehear them talking about that, my original thought of the University of Bologna actually makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Joking about it not being another food question.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with that?
See if this question is full of bologna?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we're going to go with.
That is a great guess. I didn't even not even think of that. Yeah, we were thinking of Florence, Florentine. Florentine, I believe, is some sort of food item. So we just said Florentine University.
So both foodish, but the answer is bologna.
All right.
Yeah, so. I often have eggs Florentine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's probably what I'm thinking
spinach,
of.
With spinach, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You love your eggs, Florentine.
I like my eggs a lot of ways.
How many ways are there to prepare an egg?
Whatever's on the hat, right?
It's on the hat.
It's on the hat.
Look to the hat.
Count the hat.
They're all written inside the folds, I think. It's like a cheat sheet.
Okay, question 4. A music question to sink your teeth into. Written by Jim Steinman while he was working on a musical of Nosferatu, what was the original name of Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Wait, did I just hear correctly that this song was supposed to be part of a Nosferatu musical?
That, yes, you did just hear that.
I want that so bad.
That'd be really did great.
It never made it, though, huh?
Sadly, I don't think so.
Actually, I want that puppet musical from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That would be great. Yeah. That's a good guess. I was just, this has nothing to do with vampires, though, but I was just thinking because they say it all the time in the song. But yeah.
Well, that's fine. Well, we'll go with yours because this is just a shot in the dark.
All right. Well,
which is also a good song.
We know of a couple lyrics from the song and one that's repeated a ton. So we're just going to lock in with it as a guess.
Once upon a time, I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. Nothing I can say. A total eclipse of the moon. That sounds like more like a werewolf thing.
Total eclipse of the moon.
Yes.
And they changed the lyrics because they were making the vampire musical.
I have no idea. I'm just making bad guesses here.
Yeah.
No, maybe something with the heart. Total.
Backcountry.
Total consumption of the heart.
Total consumption of the heart.
Beautiful song
it's
title.
It's a very, like the vampire, he needs it. Mm-hmm. He wants that blood, so.
Good?
Sure.
We know in the song they say turn around quite a bit, and I suppose Nosferatu, when he hears someone, he turns around with his claws out or whatever to creep you out. So we just said turn around.
So it's actually Vampires in Love.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful, actually.
The Ballad of Count Orlok.
We need Willem Dafoe in that.
Vampires in Love.
Vampires in Love.
That was the original title of Twilight, I believe.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Yeah.
All right, question 5. So we also asked friends for a listener-submitted question for this. So thanks to our friends Dan and Carla in the UK.
Thank you, guys.
The category is All's Well That Ends Well. And the question is, Homage to Catalonia is the memoir of which British author's time as a militiaman in the Spanish Civil War?
All right, we're at a loss here. We know roughly the timeline of the Spanish Civil War and British authors, but we can't really line the two categories up, so we're tapping.
Spanish Civil War was in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when Franco came to power. They were still kind of completely destroyed, which is why they stayed neutral during World War II.
Yeah.
Trying to think of British authors who would have fought for them in the 30s.
Based on the clue, All's Well That Ends Well, I wrote down George Orwell because it ends in well, and that doesn't, I don't know.
All's Well That Ends Well, I was thinking.
That's a Shakespeare quote, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Was Shakespeare in the Spanish Civil War?
He come back.
Shakespeare's corpse.
On a marionette string.
I'm like 100% sure Ernest Hemingway went and fought in the Spanish Civil War, but I'm 100% sure he's American.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of someone like him that just like, because Hemingway just like took up arms and like went, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Mark Twain.
American. Died before that.
Robert Frost.
American.
I know. I'm just naming American.
Stephen King.
No. American, born later. Orwell's not a bad guess. I'm trying to think of another. It wouldn't have been Kurt Vonnegut.
Yeah, that's too
American.
And he wouldn't have gone to fight on purpose. He was in a war, but.
Bob Dylan.
God. I'm okay going with Orwell just because I don't think I have anything better. I could see him. I think he fought in World War II, but I could see him fighting on like the anti-fascist side.
So. All right. We have an answer, and we're locking in with George Orwell.
And we had nothing. We had to tap out.
Okay, so Matt picked up on the clue. And you guys did mention him earlier in the podcast, actually. It is George Orwell.
Ooh.
Great job.
I wrote that down immediately, and then we talked about it for 10 minutes for no reason.
But you won't know, because I cut it all out, because it was pointless.
Absolutely.
We just finished the first half of the second round. It looks like Team Jeff Bridges of the National Treasure only picking up 10 points, bringing their total to 105, but extending their lead to 125 by picking up 20 points is Thrawn Legacy.
Cool. Round two, question six. It's the end of the world as we know it. Again. The video game Death Stranding is set in a post-apocalyptic world ravaged by a mass extinction. Video games aside, within one, how many mass extinctions have there been in our world? And we're excluding the one that we're apparently currently living through.
Okay. They have a guess. It's within one, so we're probably looking at a lower number.
I believe the current anthropogenic extinction is the sixth mass extinction.
So we're going to look at five?
But I don't know if there have been six, and we're moving on to seven. But if it's within one, I'd like to say six, just to be safe.
Well, I have no opinion, so I would also like to say six.
I can only name like one other. I know the Permian. There's okay. The Great Dying.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
All right, you guys said six?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we said four. So hopefully it's five.
And the answer is actually five. So yeah, both teams will get a point. As Jeff mentioned, the current one we are living through is, that would be the sixth one.
What a weird way to I guess we have to look at our lives that way. We're in a mass extinction right now, I guess.
We're causing a mass extinction.
We don't just witness them. We cause them.
Could we hit the wah-wah button? Nah, it's all right. It's a pain. It's a pain to edit. So
I know.
We'll just do it ourselves. Wah-wah.
Cool. On to question number seven. 1962. More like 1062. Originating in Europe many years ago, what is the official state sport of Maryland as of 1962? To play this sport, you might need a certain member of NSYNC. Also, this is not to be confused with the state team sport, which is lacrosse.
What do you think? I think I know it.
Are we locked in?
I believe so.
We're locked
in. I believe
in.
We can lock in.
Yeah. This reminds me of something I remember learning. We got Chris, JC, Justin, Lance, Joey.
That's the angle you want to go at it, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. You got Fatone, Kirkpatrick.
All right.
So you need a fat one.
So considering Lance Bass.
Ah, so is it bass fishing?
No. It's big mouth Billy Bass fishing.
I want to say it's jousting.
Oh, that's...
Because he says 1062.
Yes, you are correct. Jousting. Yeah. That is jousting Timberlake.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe that should be our bet. We'd have to joust each other.
I like that. Actually, we should. What can we joust with so we don't
pool
hurt each
noodles?
Other?
Vuvuzelas.
Why can't we get like those big fake cotton swab things like the head in American Gladiators?
Here's what we're going to do. It's not a South African delicacy, but I think we should joust at full speed with baguettes.
Just get run through.
All right, so the losing team will joust full speed with baguettes.
Are these like weak old baguettes? Because you'll get run straight through with that thing.
We have to hit each other in the mouth with a fresh baguette. All right, what did you guys have?
We just said jousting. I wasn't even thinking about Lance Bass. I was just like, oh, Justin jousting, sure.
Wow.
I mean, I knew it cold, so I didn't think about it too hard, but.
Excellent. Yeah, everyone picked up on the clues.
They have like, the perfect flag
some differently
for,
than others.
Like suspending from
it is jousting.
A lance, too.
Oh, lance, duh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, when we do the baguette joust, we'll have to ride those like ostrich things from the game joust.
I wanted to do the Monty Python thing where someone claps in the background and I kind of like skip along.
All right, we could do that.
Yeah.
You'll be doing that because you're going to lose. All right, what's the next question?
Shots fired.
Cool. Round to question number 8. Does this ring a bell? Making his directorial debut with Fritz the Cat in 1972, the first animated feature film to receive an X rating, Ralph Bakshi became known for his adult-oriented animated films. In 1978, he released a film based on a famous novel, the first in what he hoped would be a series of films. Unfortunately, the rest of the planned films were not greenlit, so the movie was left hanging without a proper conclusion. What is the name of the famous book series that this film was based on? Decades later, a live-action series of this book was successfully adapted to film.
We're locked in.
I'm trying to think of something
that
might have been...
Does this ring a bell?
No, I'm just trying to think of a...
No, something. I'm saying the title. Oh.
Nice.
So I'm guessing that there's some kind of bell involved. But not like Beauty and the Beast bell.
Could have been adapted. It would have been public domain. But
yeah, but
it's not a series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, so things that have been successfully adapted into series that would be from that era.
My
could
first
be.
Thought was like Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, so that's what.
Because isn't there, that's a silver chair. Is there a one with a bell in it in the title? Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Chronicles of Narnia.
I don't know, but I don't think we're going to get anything closer. Okay. So.
We're going to lock in with the chronic. What? Chronicles of Narnia. Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
Should have gone with his buddy. Does this ring a bell?
Ugh.
Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Nice. And yeah, Lord of the Rings is correct. Well done. So, we originally intended to make the category name specifically, especially for Neil, but we thought that would be a dead giveaway. Being Lord of the Rings. But yeah, the ring is the clue.
So what was Lord X-rated then?
Fritz the Cat.
The Cat?
Fritz the Cat was his previous movie.
Oh.
And then he did Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
He did The Hobbit, right? Was that the one he did?
That was a different animation team.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it was literally Lord of the Rings, and it went through like the first two books-ish, and then there was no finale.
Oh.
It was like hyper speed.
It basically ended at the Battle of Helm's Deep, if I remember correctly, the mm-hmm. animated film. And, yeah. You know, it just never got picked up for a second movie. Okay, round two, question number 9. This guy's not playing around. Last year, 2021, Sonny Molina broke the record for the longest distance walking barefoot over what? He walked a distance of just under 9 kilometers, or just over 29,000 feet, 5.6-ish miles.
Let's
go with it. Okay. Let's go with your idea.
Okay.
All right, we're locked in.
This guy's not playing around. Is this somebody where he's walking over broken
There's
glass?
There's no way somebody walked over broken glass for 5 miles.
I know.
John McClane did it.
So my thought was, it's always like one of the things, it's like a trope that parents complain about walking on Legos. They wake up and they step on Legos. Not playing around, you play with Legos. My
and
guess would
play
be...
play well is Lego in Danish. Yes. I think that's a great answer.
Wow.
Great reasoning. We thought maybe there was a line from Die Hard where, you know, they're all getting angry about McClane and, you know, shooting them all up, and someone said, this guy's not playing around. So we said glass.
Or maybe it was Carl in his car.
It could have been Argyle.
Yeah.
And well done, Matt, for picking up on,
yeah.
on the clue. And yeah, it is Lego.
Mm-hmm.
That's masochistic.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Listen to Matt's clue reads, because he's doing really great, and then you try to talk him out of stuff.
Yeah, Matt's got a great trivia gut.
I didn't talk about anything good.
We know.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever, either of you ever walked over Legos, like for an extended period of time?
not like extended, but
accidentally stepped
not
on some.
Yeah, not fun.
I have somehow, despite owning over 100 Lego sets, have never stepped on a Lego.
We should make that the bet, but the I don't want to walk over Legos if we lose. I'd rather
we'll
joust.
Do the baguette.
I'd rather
sounds more fun and visually interesting.
I could like put a whole bunch together that are flat, if that helps.
No, we're doing the baguettes.
There's probably a surprising interest in a close-up of our feet on top of Legos.
I will not take my shoes off for anyone. So.
Fair enough.
The baguette jousting, it is.
Neil has a line, and that's it. All right, let's get the final question to see what we're going to go into the final round with.
Cool. Round two, question number 10. High and dry. A cut of meat is marinated for 24 hours before being hung on hooks to dry out for up to a week. It's then cut into pieces to eat and enjoy. This shouldn't be confused with jerky, which is cooked at a low temperature to slowly dehydrate the meat and cut into thinner slices, and arguably tastes nowhere near as good. What is the name of this much-loved South African snack?
So, Neil, I don't know anything specifically South African, and this does not ring a bell. It's like something I'm familiar with, so...
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it either.
I'll say a nice hard salami.
Would you marinate then hang out to dry?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of different types of meat, and I got nothing because if it's not dehydrated, because that's what jerky is, right? So is this a moist meat? I don't want that.
A moist meat?
A tartare?
It's not. No, I mean, it's aged.
Aged tartare?
I don't know.
That's okay. Well, we're gonna say a nice fine beef tartare.
And yeah, unfortunately, no points there. The answer is actually biltong, which is, yeah, like as the question said, it's like pieces of meat that's been hanging on hooks to dry up, and it's not moist, but it can be a bit more softer, I'd say, than jerky. I don't know if it's available in America, but we thought to get like some South African delicacy question in here.
Yeah. What was it called? Guys. Bolton? Michael Bolton?
Bolton. Yeah. Biltong.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to look it up. Maybe there are some around here somewhere. It looks like after regulation, team Jeff Bridges is a national treasure, picking up 30 points, bringing their total to 135. And team Thrawn Legacy picking up 30 points as well, bringing their total to 155. So still very close going into the final round. So let's hear those final round categories.
Okay, the final five questions. Okay, the final five categories are based on the Big Five, which actually appears on our banknotes. So in order from lowest to highest, the categories are Rhino, Elephant, Lion, Buffalo, and Leopard.
All the wagers are now locked in. It looks like team Jeff Bridges is a national treasure. We're going to go 20 all the way down, and team Thrawn Legacy is going to go 25 all the way down. So it's going to come out to who can answer the most questions, just like every time we do the final.
Very astute observation, Neil.
Question number one in the category Rhino. In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, there's a pair of henchmen, one a warthog and the other a rhinoceros. Their names are both derived from genres of music. The former is a style of jazz, while the latter is a Jamaican music style, a successor to ska and a precursor to reggae. What are the names of these two villains?
This question was written for me.
Question number two, Elephant. Portrayed by John Hurt in the eponymous David Lynch film, what is the real name of the Elephant Man? We'll accept either the name in the film or the real life person is based on, as they differ slightly. Question number three, Lion. Lion O is the main character in what 1980s animated TV series featuring a group of cat-like humanoid aliens?
That one was written for Matt.
Question four, Buffalo. In the famous one word sentence, Buffalo, 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 buffalo. What does the verb buffalo mean? And question five in Leopard. I'll admit this one's a bit of a stretch. There's a wine farm in South Africa called Leopard's Leap, which produces a wine called Pinotage. Many other wine farms in South Africa also produce Pinotages, as the Pinotage grape was cultivated in South Africa and is South Africa's signature variety. What two grapes are used to make Pinotage?
All right, we have the questions. We'll think about these and we'll be right back.
Hey, Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
The answers are all locked in. Again, Team Thrawn Legacy, 25s all the way down. Jeff Bridges, 20s all the way down. Let's get the questions one more time, see how we did. Personally, okay. I like these cartoon questions.
Cool. Question number one. In the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles franchise, there's a pair of henchmen, one a warthog and the other a rhinoceros. Their names are both derived from genres of music. The former is a style of jazz, while the latter is a Jamaican music style, a successor to ska and a precursor to reggae. What are the names of these two villains?
Yep, as I said, this question was written for me, and we said Bebop and Rocksteady, the Warthog and the Rhino, respectively, I believe.
Pretty sure that's correct, yep. We said Bebop and Rocksteady.
That is correct, yeah. It's Bebop and Rocksteady. Question number two. Portrayed by John Hurt in the eponymous David Lynch film, what is the real name of the Elephant Man? We'll accept either the name in the film or the real-life person he's based on, as they differ slightly.
I'm going to go with the name that I believe is the real name, and I'm going to say Joseph Merrick.
Yeah, we two said Merrick. I believe the fictional one is John Merrick.
And both teams are correct, with Joseph and John Merrick. Question number three. Lion-O is the main character in what 1980s animated TV series featuring a group of cat-like humanoid aliens?
We went with Thundercats.
I think most people would say Chitara was the main character here, but we also said Thundercats.
I think Chitara was in that Chip and Dale movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I watched that. That was funny.
It was great.
Yeah.
Cool, and Thundercats is correct.
All right, question four. In the famous one-word sentence, buffalo, 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 what does the verb buffalo mean?
Yeah, roughly we said like to taunt or to bully. So taunt.
Yeah, we said like, you know, bully, harangue, what have you.
Yeah, we would have taken any sort of synonym of that, but bully is perfect. Nice. And question five. There's a wine farm in South Africa called Leopard's Leap, which produces a wine called a Pinotage. Many other wine farms in South Africa also produce Pinotages, as the Pinotage grape was cultivated in South Africa and is South Africa's signature variety. What two grapes are used to make Pinotage?
Well, it's all down to this, it seems like. So we got a hit and they got a miss.
A lot of this is based on the fact that I was working on a question to stump our hosts in a future game possibly. And I believe it's like the most widely planted grape in South Africa. So we went with Pinot for Pinot Noir. And I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's...
Hope it ends in Taj.
Sin salt. I think the Taj comes from Hermitage is what it's called in South Africa, but I believe it's Sin salt or Sin salt.
Well, we too said the Pinot, and then we named the only grape we know is a grape and said the Concord.
I didn't think... Well, I hoped that a team would get this, but I didn't think either team would. But Neil, you're absolutely correct.
Holy
Neil.
And Hermitage or Simcell.
That's only because I was researching a question for them. Actually, to give to Matt for his stream, because they go on the stream all the time. But I'm awesome. glad I researched
that.
We
definitely asked that on the stream, just by the way.
Yeah, we would like some extra points on the stream in the future.
I hope you guys like your bread, boys.
Looks like the final scores are Thrawn Legacy picking up 75 points, which should be enough to win, bringing them to 230. But thanks to some South African research to give to Matt, we picked up an extra 5 points with 100 total in the final round, bringing our total to 235, making us today's Sinsalt of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't want to go too hard. Let's not go 30s all the way down. Yeah. Thwarted.
I know.
Well, you still would have. The betting, I think you, whatever.
Yeah.
Matt, no, because then we would have had 250.
You would have lost 30 points.
Matt was whatever. Really the star of this game. Matt, if I could compliment you today.
Hey, I got a couple things right. Good for me.
Your gut was very, very strong
very
today.
Very Dick Gutley today.
Very Dick Gutley. Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today from South Africa, obviously, from the Cape Town area. But Gerard and Emma, wonderful game, super clever, great swing round, all above the board. Thank you so much. Anything you'd like to say, anyone you'd like to shout out again, the floor is yours.
Yeah, like we're very happy to be on the podcast, and we really appreciate being here. Shout outs, I'd say, like, we did do some playtesting, and we got like a lot of good feedback from the playtesters. And if I can give like a shout out to all of them by name, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the playtesters were Bettina Mashail, Donald Adamek, Louis Anthony de Roxas, Keith Moser, and Mark. He's not Mantis on Discord. I don't know his surname.
It's a playtesting all-stars
some great feedback, which we incorporated, and yeah, it was super fun being on the show, and we definitely hope to be like attending or like host a quiz again in the future.
For sure.
At some stage.
That would be great.
Or even come up as host, as guests.
Yeah, pretty much the same from me. It was really fun. Thanks so much to the playtesters. It really helped a lot to sort of improve some of our questions, and we've really enjoyed this, so thanks.
Yeah, lovely having you both.
Thank you so much for being Patreon supporters, for being our first game from South Africa, which was an honor, and thank you just for hanging out with us today. We loved it. For Gerard, Emma, Matt, Jeff, Ken, and myself, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality.
Let me open that one up real quick.
And if you look at the filmography of the famous actor from Cheech and Chong, Cheech Marin, you get a cheat sheet.
Why?
Unnecessary. Question 4, please.
This is a pandemic.
It is a pandemic.
Hey, for any of you out there who need a great platform on which to record your podcast, please use our offer code at zen.ai/triviality, a trivia game show pod. Trust me, we didn't pick that. But the offer is good for 30% off directly through Zencastr. So if you're looking for the same excellent, easy-to-use experience that we get with professional sound, please check out the link below.
Yeah, the discount code's in the link. You can use copy and paste.
That's zen.ai/triviality, a trivia game show pod. Links in the show notes.